Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think there'd be a considerable draft pick. I don't know that it would be this year's first round pick because that might be the first overall pick. But a future number one, I don't think that would be out of the question at all, to be honest with you. That's a desperate, broken franchise and an owner whose covenant with his fans has been shattered. And he can't get them to buy a beer or a T-shirt, much less a ticket. It's over right now.
All right, you found the PM team. Brought to you by Chafin Luhana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right on 93.7 The Fan. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, we got Craig Riley producing today's program. Jason Lockenfora today on the morning show, radio.com NFL Insider. He had one of the two reports linking Mike Tomlin to the Redskins. That entire interview is up on our website, by the way, 93.7thefan.com. We also have this bit of news today about a Redskins jet, a private plane over at, I'm guessing, Allegheny County Airport. Which airport would it be at?
I mean, it could be at Allegheny County Airport out in what, near West Mifflin, or it could be just like the private terminal.
But in Pittsburgh.
Yes, that's where the airport is, Craig. It's a little place called Pittsburgh International. There's multiple terminals there. I think like private planes come in, do like a separate part of the complex out there because there's the 9/11 Air Wing and all that stuff.
So let me get this straight. Mike Tomlin's been linked to the Redskins. He doesn't shoot down the rumor yesterday. He leaves the door open. Mm-hmm. 24 hours later, there is a Redskins private plane in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
According to one person who claims to work at the airport, that's exactly what it is, that a Redskins player who was injured this past week was flown in on the team plane to see doctors at UPMC, which, given, I guess, UPMC's reputation with this sort of thing, isn't totally out of the realm of possibility.
But what would keep Dan Snyder from getting on that plane with that Redskins player? He goes and gets coffee and, oh, hi, Mike.
Mike,
what are the
yes.
odds?
My player here, I don't remember his name. He tore his something or other. His medulla oblongata is hurt, and I would just happen to want to catch a quick flight to Pittsburgh.
I heard you mention you like to paint in red and yellow. Yeah. Any truth to that?
What about burgundy on throwback week? Here's what I will say, though. If that person, and we're going, this is already approaching like Sean Miller watch levels here, by the way. So Richie should be on the case anytime now. But the guy, like the person that claims to work at the airport who gave the explanation, Snyder can't legally, even though it's a private plane, to my understanding, I think you have to be on the manifest. You know what I mean? Like, if Dan Snyder gets on that plane, somebody has to file a flight plan that has a manifest with everybody on board the plane, and you can't just be like, ooh, the owner wants to go cloak and dagger here.
Well, I think Dan Snyder gets what he wants, and if he goes...
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
I think if he wants to have a clandestine meeting with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, damn it, he's going to have a clandestine meeting with Mike
Tomlin
in Pittsburgh.
Why not wait till they play the Ravens in Baltimore and drive 30 miles?
Strike while the iron's hot.
The iron's not going to get any like less hot just because he sits around watching his team go 0-15 or 1-15. I'm sorry. They're going to beat the Dolphins probably.
Will you at least let me have this today, please?
Yeah, I think there's...
Just let me have the possibility that Dan Snyder had a private plane in Pittsburgh and it wasn't because Jordan Reed needed to get his head examined by UPMC, okay? Maybe it's because the owner of the Redskins wants Mike Tomlin. Dan Snyder, he's a petulant little kid. He's spoiled rotten. He wants what he wants. And right now, his heart is after Mike Tomlin.
His interests very much aligned with yours. Mike Tomlin no longer working in Pittsburgh.
And you heard Jason Lockenfora say that if the Redskins had any shred of intelligence, which is up for debate, they will not trade the 2020 first round pick.
Because it could be the number one pick.
Because there's a toilet bowl on Sunday that might determine who gets the first pick between the Redskins and the Dolphins.
It's like
the loser
Secretariat in Seattle slew, but of being terrible.
Gets the ultimate prize. But he says the Redskins could trade the Steelers their first round pick the following year in 2021 for Mike Tomlin.
which would be two in one draft, which would ease the sting of not having one in the 2020 draft, which would help restock the cupboard.
If you're the Steelers, Chris Mueller, would you take that deal for Mike Tomlin?
I would, because the 2021 pick, who's coming out in that draft?
Trevor Lawrence.
Isn't Fromm in that one, or is he in this one?
I think if he wants to, he can come out in this draft.
But there's always the chance a guy like that.
You're not about the Georgia quarterback,
Jake,
right?
Jake Fromm. Lawrence is definitely in it, right? So he's definitely in 2021.
He played against Tua. So I'm in that national championship game. So I'm guessing he would be eligible, right? After this year.
Here's my Lawrence is the big prize. Point being, if Washington sucks in year one of Mike Tomlin because they're so bereft of anything and they go 2-14, say, that 2021 pick could be the number one pick. Wham bam, Trevor Lawrence to the Steelers, and whoever is your quarter or your new head coach has thus expedited his rebuilding process.
It's going to be a top 15 pick. The Redskins have one 10-win season out of their last 13.
It's probably going to be a top 5-7 pick, let's be honest. There's always the outside chance it could be the number one pick in 2021.
But there's no way Tomlin would ride in on his horse, named obviously.
That's very good. Very
and
good.
And whisk them away to like a 10-win season.
He's not going
season.
Yet. Well, no. The whole point there is that the franchise is so totally broken that he would get total personnel control and probably have to rebuild it from
and
scratch
this,
other than having Dwayne Haskins.
And in this case, a first-round pick is more valuable than a head coach.
Well, a head coach that the franchise has dealt with differently. They have only put him on a short extension.
Right. Robert Kraft would never trade Bill Belichick for a first-round pick. The Saints wouldn't trade Sean Payton. The Chiefs wouldn't trade Andy Reid for a first-round pick. The Rams wouldn't trade Sean McVay.
Mind you, every one of those teams should, except for New England, trade their coach for a first-round pick.
So the Rams should trade Sean McVay to the Redskins. I would... Oh my God, categorically disagree with that.
Go hire Lincoln Riley. You're in L.A.
Anyways.
Get Jared Goff out of there.
Anyways, the Steelers are not one of the teams who should trade, who should keep their coach and turn down a first-round pick, even if they have to wait a year to get it. I want the Steelers to be open-minded to this. What I really hope that they're doing over there is daydreaming about the idea that Mike Tomlin is available for trade, and he will go to the highest bidder. So you've got the Atlanta Falcons, who right now are 1-4 and are probably, of the miserable teams in football, the biggest disappointment. Their coach came in, Dan Quinn, on a red-hot seat where he had to take over defensive play calling this year. They're still awful. Would they be interested in Mike Tomlin? Now you've got two. Here's another one. Let's say the Panthers, who have won 3 straight, don't make the playoffs. They go 8-8. They miss it. David Tepper sitting there.
Hey,
former
Kevin.
Steeler owner.
Hey, Mike.
Exactly. That would make 3. You get more than one team, you can drive up the Mike Tomlin trade price.
Here's where your perception of Mike Tomlin, you need to be realistic about it because it ends up working in your favor. You can't stand him. You wish he'd been fired repeatedly.
Yes.
You have expressed this desire that he had been fired after the Jacksonville loss in 2017's playoffs.
But his other resume teams, makes him a commodity.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Other teams don't look at it like Andrew Filippone.
Or Chris Mueller.
I was on board with Tomlin until last year, so I'm still like figuring this whole thing out where I have to bash him at every turn. He's also, you know what else I would hope for if I were the Steelers? That the number of teams that is in this little pile is more than one, which it will be. And that Mike Tomlin's defense, by the way, continues to play well. And the Steelers, while they don't win 8 or 9 games, win like 6 or 7 and look a lot better doing it towards the end of the season than they did to start. Then suddenly people really want him because they say Mike Tomlin got victimized by his quarterback getting hurt. Had that not happened, they would have risen to the top of the AFC North because his defense, and it is his defense,
and his coaching
got
stock
it together.
Doesn't drop that much.
His coaching stock goes up, if anything, because people look at it and say they started 1-4. They had Duck Dynasty playing in one of those games at least. And look, he held them together as best anyone could possibly imagine that he would.
Maybe even Jerry Jones gets involved. Fires Jason Garrett. Can't lure Lincoln Riley away from Oklahoma.
Pony has unzipped his quarter zip down a little bit, and he's fanning himself as he says all this, by the way.
Would that not
Pony just lit a cigarette in the studio, Craig, thinking about
would
this.
Would that not make what has been just an awful start to the Steelers season, with the exception of the Browns. Misery loves company. Would that not just be Christmas in January? If the NFL's biggest story is a bidding war for Mike Tomlin. Ugh. The possibilities in the Steelers better not just fall back on, we're all about our coach, we're loyal to our coach, it starts with our coach. He's had 13 years here. That's enough time. That's not a rash decision. That's not giving up on somebody. That's not a raw deal. The man had his chance. He did a good job overall. They won a Super Bowl with him. But everybody's time runs out. Eventually, they'll fire me here. They'll probably give you a lifetime contract, Chris, but at least for us mortals.
What, at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland? There's like one of those old-timey parlor couches being assembled right behind Pony's seat here so he can faint into it with delight and glee.
Do you disagree with me at all?
I disagree with one thing about this. You're assuming a lot, and I do think it would be okay for the Steelers to move on from Mike Tomlin. The national perception might be, why would you do that? Why would you fire a guy who still might not have a losing season if he rallies, etc.? Or trade him, I should say, in this particular case, and let him go. I think people here feel, maybe more accurately too, like it's gotten stale. The one caveat here, you have to get the next hire right.
And they have.
They have a good track record because they're 3-for-3, but that's like a pinch hitter coming up and happening to get three hits in a row. It's going to eventually start regressing, and you hope it doesn't happen with the next hire. So that would be my hang-up and my worry.
So you're now subscribing to the Ron Cook, be careful what you wish for?
I didn't say I would act on my hang-up and worry. I said I wouldn't live in my fears like the future departed Mike Tomlin.
John Clayton's going to join us at 3. He's going to give us his national perspective on the Tomlin trade rumors. Coming up next are Pirates / Penguins insider Jason Mackey. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Reno into a game, we think he's played extremely well to this point. And the fact that we've had the number of defensemen here, and given the circumstance that presented itself, it seemed like a logical decision.
93.7 The Fan times 229. It's brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Water, fire, or mold issues demand the yellow van. That was Mike Sullivan after the Penguins got blitzed last night 4-1 by the Winnipeg Jets. I know of one Pittsburgher who didn't mind that outcome, but we're not going to.
He was cheering like a lunatic out there.
No, I actually have a friend. You didn't know that? Who's a Winnipeg Jets fan?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rayon Pavachevich.
No, loved the old jerseys. Got into Solani
Got into Solani.
Yeah.
What a statement. Yeah.
Wait, you thought I was like taking a shot at Deshaun there? No, I was giving a shout out to a friend who's a Winnipeg Jets fan.
You have one actual Winnipeg Jets fan. The old Winnipeg jerseys were sweet, and that arena was sweet when they came back into the league because it's so small and so loud.
Jason Mackey was there last night with the Post-Gazette. He doubles as our Penguins and Pirates insider here on 93.7.
He's like the Bo Jackson of being an insider, really.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Dick Grote.
If the Pirates would get back to the playoffs, we could have him do the two hits in one day about two different teams.
Jason, what was the... Did that make any sense last night, the John Marino
decision? It makes sense, and thank you for the kind words, by the way. I appreciate it. I'll settle for a very stripped-down version of that. But, I mean, it looked to me like they were trying to do everything they can to get John Marino in the lineup without sort of upsetting the apple cart or without really upsetting Jack Johnson.
That's important. I wouldn't want Jack Johnson to be mad.
Haven't they upset him enough? They traded him to Minnesota, and they've been trying like mad to trade him ever since.
Well, here's what's baffling to me. All during my time covering Mike Sullivan, the guy has hated 11-7. Has been pretty adamant. I mean, Mike Sullivan doesn't really give us much to chew on, and that's one thing he's pretty noncommittal on. Not a fan of 11-7. Why in the world, then, do you go 11-7 last night? And I mean, Sam Lafferty deserved to play in that game. I'm the problem with that. You have a couple other guys in Wilkes-Barre that deserved to play in that game, even if you didn't want to use Agazino. That was such a out-of-left-field move, and I understand wanting to play John Marino. That makes a lot of sense, but I don't understand why you do it as a seventh defenseman. And, you know, I mean, they just got bit, too. And Mike Sullivan said it postgame, the one thing that can't happen when you do something like that is you suffer an injury early. They suffered an injury early, and they had also Jake Guentzel and Zach Aston-Reese go back and forth to the dressing room. It could not have worked out worse for them.
How concerning, just generally now, not even just last night, but that obviously factors in, are the injuries for this team at such an early juncture?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting too, Chris, going off of that, something Sidney Crosby said last night about, he mentioned the playoff race, which he's not wrong. I'm not taking issue with anything Sid said, but like, we're talking about the playoff race after game three. Normally it's, you know, this
well, it never gets talked about with this team because it's treated as like an article of faith. And I think in that dressing room, it's treated as just a given that they're going to make it.
I would agree with you, but has that changed now? I think it might have. And maybe it's because of the injuries. I'm not saying the expectations are any different. They still expect to be in the playoffs. But, I mean, this team is kind of up you-know-what without a paddle. Not that this is a bad roster or anything like that, but, I mean, you normally don't lose this many of your top nine forwards. And, you know, I understand why they made the move they did with Dominic Cahoon. I'm not necessarily taking issue with the process, but he's been pretty invisible thus far. You know, I think they hoped he could jump onto a, you know, top nine role at minimum, potentially a top six, and he's not really shown that. I'd look for some progress from Zach Aston-Reese. I haven't seen much of it. And so, I mean, they're going to need somebody here sooner or later to sort of punch above their weight, and right now it's not happening.
Jason, do you get the sense to build off of that entire concept about playoff race, that they as a franchise, like the guys that actually make up that team, I'm not talking like management level, that they realize they're getting older at the core, and that the league has caught up to them in many ways, and that it's not, like, they might say the expectation is what it is. They might have always viewed the playoffs as sort of a birthright, if you will. But now they realize that it's going to be much more of a dogfight this year than it maybe ever has been before.
I don't know if this, I understand what you're getting at, and I don't know if the switch has flipped that seismic. I do think it was interesting. I did my 20 thoughts yesterday. I don't know if you guys read it or anybody else read it. I thought it was interesting that Jim Rutherford basically admitted in there that, like, we're not as fast. We lost our depth. And that was the first I had heard of that. And to me, that's kind of an admission that the playoffs aren't necessarily as much of a birthright as they used to be. And I think the Penguins are aware of the situation. I mean, that doesn't change their goals. I mean, they still think they should be in the playoffs, and they're right. They have a roster that's good enough that should be in the playoffs, and also because like 72 teams make it in the NHL, but they should be there. Do I think that they feel entitled to that spot? No. I think they grasp what it takes to get there, but again, if you're going to look at their roster, and I haven't been terribly impressed with any of their defensemen thus far. Matt Murray was good in the first two games, was not great last night. Their forwards have been, and they're dealing with some injuries. I mean, that's not exactly a recipe that's going to carry you there with any sort of strength.
Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider here on 93.7 The Fan. So are they just playing Jack Johnson to trade him?
I mean, that's tough to say. I mean, they're playing Jack Johnson because they also believe in him. I don't think they don't believe in him, but I also think they look at their situation realistically. They did initially. You know, if we can move a defenseman, it's really going to help us
capitalize. Yeah, but what shifted, like, literally 24 hours before the opener, where it went from Ricola as one of our six best to, oh, wait a minute, we got to get Jack Johnson in. What happened?
Yeah. That's the million-dollar question, and I can't tell you. I don't know if anybody can tell
you. My conspiracy theory is they're trying to trade him.
I wouldn't disagree with you, Andrew. I wouldn't disagree with you at all. But, I mean, are they trying to trade him because they have an issue with this game, or are they trying to do that because it makes sense in terms of, like, you want to deal from you have a lot of defensemen to try to get a forward because they're all hurt?
I mean, can't you satisfy both with that? You think it makes sense because you have a lot of defensemen and you want to try to bolster the roster, but also because it's pretty clear and they tip their hand, like Andrew said, that he's not one of your six best in your own internal kind of evaluation process?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's completely fair. Like, if they were trying to trade Jack Johnson, I wouldn't look at it and say, oh, my goodness, you're doing this all wrong. The sky is falling or whatever. I mean, it's smart business. To me, if you can get somebody to take him, and I don't even need a return here. Like, if I'm Jim Rutherford and I'm able to unload Jack Johnson for anything to free those dollars up or, you know, I think to get out from under the length of the contract, which is looking worse and worse by the day, but if you're able to do that and find a taker, I think you do it. It's just I think the issue they've run up against all along is they probably have a different take on what Jack's value is versus what the industry does.
Jason, who's the favorite right now to be the next Pirates manager?
If I had to say one, it would be Sam Fold from the Phillies, but I don't feel comfortable at this point singling out one guy. I know this, that probably when this happened, we just sort of all assumed that it's going to be Jeff Banister and let's just move on and not have a search. I don't get that sense from talking to people. I get the sense that they want to go in a different direction, and that's probably going to be young, analytics savvy, smart, somebody to sort of continue that sort of push. Whether that's Fold or not, I'm not sure, but I mean, it's somebody cut from that cloth, and I just don't think it...
How about in the front office? Do you think they're going to clean house there at all?
In the front office?
Yep.
No, I think what you're seeing is a large part of what you're going to get. I think you're going to see some changes with drafting, development, scouting, but I don't think
Well, that's significant, like big names in that department?
Broadway, Delacari?
I don't know. I don't know. But, I mean, are we talking general manager? Like, are we thinking Neil Huntington's unsafe at this point? Is that sort of
no,
what
No,
right
I think
here?
We all feel like he's locked in as general manager. Okay. I mean, like his lieutenants.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to clean house there, but I think you'll see at least one go. I mean, I think you have to, and I don't want to say, you know, it's going to be Broadway and not Stark or something like that. I don't see, let me put it this way, I don't see the entire conglomerate returning as is.
All right.
Jason, you hearing any quick details on any whispered numbers on what that new TV deal is worth? Like anything that's scuttlebutt-wise? Like,
you know what's fascinating, Chris? I was actually, after I got home from Penguins last night, I was reading this. I stumbled upon a column you wrote for the Times, I believe. I have not been able to crack this whatsoever, what this number is. And, you know, I'm trying to get a little bit more context as to what the last one is. It's odd to me that it's as secretive as it is. I feel like if that was really good, you'd want to, like, leak it and crow about it.
That's what everyone said about the first one, where Frank Coonerly, once the 10 years, $20 million or so annually got out, Frank Coonerly said, well, I can't. It was like somebody basically saying, oh, my dad plays for the Lakers, but I can't tell you about it really. Or he's never on TV. He only plays on the non-televised games.
And I mean, I get they're not going to like put it in the release, but somebody you would think would be out there like
everybody,
talking about it if it was really something to throw a parade
I live 2,500 miles from LA, and I know that their deal pays them $250 million a year for the Dodgers.
Like, I'm comfortable saying the Pirates deal is not worth a quarter billion.
But that's what I mean. I'm with you in the end. If it was a really good deal, people would find out about it, and they would want people to find out about it.
I also don't understand the crime of just not announcing the details. I mean, that's just my own personal opinion. Like, it's just put them out there.
Yeah.
I mean, other teams do. It's out there for other. I mean, yes, you're going to be evaluated based on them, but wouldn't you want to be evaluated based on them? I don't understand.
Jason Mackey, our Penguins/Pirates insider. Thanks, Jason.
All right, gentlemen. Take care.
See ya. Coming up next, a Mason Rudolph update from Steelers practice as the PM team.
Sounds like Mason Rudolph is doing okay. It's tough to judge, predict where a player is going to come down in his concussion. He was spotted walking through the locker room today. He is said to be feeling good, and they are currently practicing right now. We'll get a full status report on how they practice and where they are. My understanding was at the least Mason Rudolph was out at practice. That is a good sign at the very least. We'll see what he's listed. If he's limited, then maybe you'll see a similar situation to Josh Allen, where if a starting quarterback practices on Wednesday, at the very least, he has a shot at being able to play on Sunday.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, right there. We're brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. Rappaport referencing Bills quarterback Josh Allen, who was hit viciously in the Bills' loss to New England. It knocked him out of the game. Not quite as bad as what happened to Mason Rudolph. Wasn't knocked out cold, but close. Matt Barkley came into the game. And Allen went through individual drills at Wednesday's practice, got himself to a full practice on Friday, and came back and played against Tennessee on Sunday in a Bills win. And so, based on what we're hearing from today's Steelers practice, it looks like Mason Rudolph went through a similar workout where he did some individual work, but he was out there in football gear. I mean, he was not, like, watching practice.
He was in pads and a helmet.
He went through part of the Steelers practice, which now creates the possibility that he could play against the Chargers on Sunday.
I would think the optics of a guy getting knocked out cold and then playing 7 days later would be bad, and you would want to avoid that, but it's the NFL, where I feel like if it's not a quarterback, that sort of thing happens semi-regularly. So if that happens, and I think you said yesterday during our Duck Talk that you felt the Steelers, if Rudolph was cleared, would play him.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked. It yep. wouldn't even be an issue. Then my question becomes, if he comes out and looks shoddy on Sunday night against the Chargers, how long's the leash? Is there a leash where you say, like, your backup played pretty well in relief, you've got a half to show us what
no,
you can do?
No, I don't think that it would be performance-based at all. I think the way this room, you and I, view
Duck.
The Rudolph-Hodges relationship
You think we're on an island pretty,
no,
pretty
I don't,
near
I,
that?
I don't think we're on like an island, just the two of us. I think there are plenty of Steelers fans who...
I think the team still views... Man.
They like Hodges, but they understand if they were to yank Mason Rudolph out of a game and it wasn't injury-related and put Hodges in, that would be a major statement on how you view Rudolph short-term and long-term, and I don't think the Steelers are willing to do that. If Rudolph plays, it's his job, and he would have to really, really suck for them to go back to Hodges.
I really hope Hodges plays, but now, I mean, the more... I'm not saying I don't want there to be positive news for Mason Rudolph just for his own personal sake, but I kind of was hoping he wouldn't be cleared for this game because I really wanted to see what Hodges could do. Because I think he is the better quarterback of the two. And I think they have a better chance to win this football game if he starts and Mason Rudolph isn't ready to go yet.
Yeah. I trust the concussion protocol more in this circumstance when it's not real time, live, and like doctors are making quick snapshot judgments on whether or not to put a guy back into a game. Like when it's during the week, I think they...
Well, they've got time
more
on their side.
Right. There's not pressure from...
Nobody's looming over their shoulder, yeah, metaphorically or literally.
So I think this, if Rudolph passes the test, I trust that he's able to play. But I think we're in agreement here. I'd rather see... I want to see what Hodges...
I just think Hodges is better. Man, people
Hodges
have,
has got an it factor, as Paul Zeiss would say.
Well, he does. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You can watch a team and say Mason Rudolph's, what, 30 for his last 35 or whatever it is for 300 yards and three touchdowns.
Cool.
Great. Most of those passes were like little tiny baby passes against the Bengals, the overwhelming majority. Or you can look at the way Hodges moved the team and say, that looked different and that looked better.
Our sister station in Cleveland had me on to talk about this today.
Oh, man.
And for context, before I play you this clip. I know.
I think I might be blacklisted up there because
I think they feel like they don't.
The Browns,
I feel like they think, Craig, they already have the Browns' perspective in Cleveland. It would just be redundant.
Well, they're going to only
came
have
on
me
and
on,
talked about the Browns.
I think they're going to only have me back on again if the Browns get on a roll, and then I'll come on to like. Yeah.
So
true. Good. Yes.
So
course.
Their morning show host sent out a tweet during Monday's game that Mayfield was so bad he officially had given up any chance of winning the MVP award.
Okay.
Which I agree with, by the way. I think that's...
This year.
Yes. The 2019...
MVP award. The ship has sailed
yes.
for Baker Mayfield. Pretty safe bet.
So I only mention that because it will add context to the following exchange.
You really thought Devlin Hodges was better?
Than who? Mason Rudolph?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ken, you know what they do?
I watch
Hodges
it.
Is in?
What?
They don't have a running back take shotgun snaps.
Like, I get that. Like, I watch that and... Maybe the difference was negligible, but I've seen putts longer than his passes. That was ridiculous. Come on.
Who, Mason Rudolph?
Devlin Hodges.
No.
He had one with I watched the thing live.
He looked like Baker Mayfield without the baggage, Ken. Number six.
Okay.
Diminutive. Makes plays.
Well,
I thought he was outstanding.
Well,
we're
going to
do
wait,
this.
Wait. Tony, that means you're saying he's fat, because that's what our callers are saying about Baker Mayfield right now.
Well, I also hear hosts in Cleveland are saying he can't win the MVP.
What did you tell him? What was he about? He was about to take a shot at you, I think.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Yeah, they just hung up on me. That's not very professional. Have we ever done that to somebody?
Joe has.
Not on a guest?
Not on a
guest. Mid-sentence?
No, he hangs up on callers, and he would do it all the time with the, their line just dropped. I don't know what happened,
Do Malzy. You think it was the host or the producer?
Host.
Because when I put I'll take you behind the scenes. When I put a call on, you guys don't have the ability to drop it. It is locked in through the board. The producer may have had to do that to you.
No, I think it was the host. Come on, they're probably not working with advanced equipment like we have here.
True.
Man, Pony, I think you can rub a lot of people the wrong way, but I agree. Not very professional by them.
I don't know if I'll go back on. I think they might have burned the bridge.
A boycott?
It's one thing to rip the Steelers, but don't rip what Devlin Hodges did in that game.
Devlin Baker Jr. Hodges. He does.
He looks like
all
him,
kidding
Chris.
Aside, everything about
the number,
him, the only thing
the style
that's,
of play.
Yeah, the only thing
balls,
that's wildly
big
different.
Balls, man.
Just brass balls. He doesn't have a strong arm like Mayfield does, but it seems like Mayfield having a strong arm has resulted in Mayfield throwing picks into like triple coverage. So
I thought something was coming there. Oh, well. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun on Tuesday, October 15th, and help them support the fight against breast cancer. 69 degrees, a low of 45. John Clayton on the Tomlin Rumors in 5 minutes as the PM team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.